Okay, I am pleased to now introduce Dr. Simon Rosser, who has been a professional ballet dancer in addition to doing his research on sexually explicit media materials in New York City and where he lives part-time. Yeah. And enjoys wearing tutus. Can I get that?
I love tutus. When you're a professional ballet dancer, it's really important to focus on visuals. I feel like we've just come out of the election season and maybe I'm still in it. So the first candidate has tried to convince you that venue is really important. And the candidates on the coast like to talk a lot, so they've been talking about how talking is really important. I'm going to really talk about and look at what we see and how what we see influences what we do. I have no relationships of any kind. Ballet dancers never do. And therefore, including conflicts of interest. So how does what we see influence what we do? Now, we've done a little bit of work as background for this study. And we know that I'm going to talk about SEM being sexually explicit media. That's because I'm funded by NIH, and that means that I can't talk about porn. But every time you hear the word SEM, just use the word porn and we'll be fine. Is that okay? So, SEM consumption amongst gay men is extremely common. The gay SEM industry is very large, and on almost any metric, it's hugely disproportionate to what you would expect. And yet it was a very neglected area of research. At the start of the study, there was only 4 papers in English that looked at gay SEM use. 2 examined it causing negative body image, 1 on compulsive sexual behaviour, and 1 small pilot on HIV risk. So to address the lack of research, I'm going to be talking about this large study where so far we're up to about 28 peer-reviewed publications of this. So it's providing a major gap. And I'm going to run through all 28 papers very quickly within 15 minutes, and that's a little bit like twirling. Our study aims was to get a sense of gay SEM consumption, to investigate a hypothesized relationship between watching porn and engaging in risk, and then to assess how porn could be used in HIV prevention. This is a mixed methods study with a strong qualitative components. It's a national study, so we did our online synchronous focus groups. Then we had a reliability and a measured development phase, and then a quantitative survey. We recruited people off Gay Ad Network, which spans about 102 websites. That has the advantage that some of those websites focus on men of colour, others on white men. And to be included, they had to be internet using, since this was an online study. MSM, living in the US. We're great believers in deduplication and cross-validation protocols. That's mainly because other studies have found that about 97% of their people are fake when you do online studies, unless you deduplify. And on this study, we rejected approximately 12% of the people as suspect. When we began, we started with the Simon Gagnon sexual script theory, which seemed a relatively sensible place to start. However, we recognize that it's a very linear mechanistic model. This is the idea that you see a gorgeous man in a tutu and you say, I want to be him. Then you find that you see him twirling and pretty much you want to have sex with the gorgeous man in the tutu, and then you get sexually satisfied. It's very linear mechanistic. It focuses mainly on early exposure. This was developed somewhere in the early 1600s. It's potentially dated, and it's not based on MSM's actual experience. So we did our qualitative interviews, and we've come up and published a new model of what we think is really going on how porn is influencing HIV risk behavior. This is the work of Michael Wilkerson, now at the University of Texas, who was a postdoc with me at the time. But basically, it suggests that when we're looking at porn, if we come across something new, if it's potentially arousing, we might want to try it. If we have a partner to do it, that's going to increase the probability. If we find it pleasurable, then we've discovered something new about ourselves and with other ways. So, Our first aim, if you remember, was to actually just try and get some decent data on what are gay men looking at. And it turns out it's almost universal. About 99% of our sample reported recent sim viewing. Mean is about 25 minutes per day. So at a time when HIV prevention is saying, how do we re-engage gay men, we're saying 25 minutes a day is kind of a good thing to be looking at. It's the number one sex activity online. I've been researching online sex sites, etc., for over a decade. The amount of time spent is greater. It's high across all demographics. It's cybersem focused, so we're really talking about using computers. There's some old folks who still like DVDs. SEM is essential. Oh, yeah, and there are some people who aren't middle-aged who can actually view it on their mobiles. So SEM is essential yet almost unstudied part of MSM sexual behaviour. So we next ask, well, who do these guys like looking at? And this is fascinating to me because what it suggests is that there's a strong self-bias. So younger guys prefer looking at younger guys more than older. HIV-positive guys like HIV-positive-looking guys more than HIV-negs. Average-looking guys like looking at average guys more than handsome guys do. Well-endowed guys like looking at big penises more than your average-endowed guy. The one area where it didn't size up was men of colour like looking at white men in porn more than white men. I think that is really interesting. What kind of SEM do men prefer to view? When we did some fancy statistics on this, it turns out that gay men are actually very traditional. 61% like seeing something that they could do fairly easily. You know, you call up the plumber comes over. Oh, in the interest of time, we'll keep it short, but basically, he looks at me, I look at him, I take off my clothes, he takes off his clothes, I then feel him, I kiss him maybe, depending on how intimate we want to be, and then I go down on him, and he goes down on me, and then he has sex with me, or anal sex, and then I have anal sex with him, and then there's a cum shot, and it's over. One third prefer it amplified. So they like to call up the plumber and his best friend to come over. Or if we're having one penis in the anus, why not have two? And it amplifies just one step. And then about 7% endorse everything, including kink. And for these guys, it really is more a playground. This is a way of really enjoying the world of sexuality, which I suspect the 61% might not quite appreciate. How do men evaluate the effects of their SEM watching? Almost everyone values it as positive. So this is the neutral to positive range, the top benefits, the reasons why all of you for your homework tonight should go home and watch gay SEM include. You're going to increase your knowledge of gay sex, you're going to have more sexual interest, and it's going to enhance your masturbation, and I apologize, my mother is going to beat me after this presentation. Only 3% report a small negative effect, and I think clinically what we're talking about probably is guys who already have very poor body image. And so when they look at it, they see poor body image. Is this compulsive? We've developed a new scale, and in fact I've got copies of the scale. It's just been published in this month's Sex, Addiction and Compulsivity, so I'll leave that at the back of the room. And it's a 5-item scale to measure compulsive sexual consumption. But really only 7% of them meet clinical criteria for compulsive pornography consumption, and at the extreme, that this group up here, they're actually at reduced risk for HIV risk because they don't get away from their computers. What is the relationship between SEM consumption and HIV risk? Nearly all MSM reported watching bareback on a daily to weekly basis. It's extremely common. What kind of anal sex do guys prefer to see? About 42% don't have any preference. 41% prefer bareback in their viewing. 17% prefer seeing condoms. What we found was overall SEM consumption did not relate to increased risk. However, on a whole bunch of stuff, almost any way that you measure it, a preference for watching bareback is correlated with increased insertive risk, increased receptive risk, and conversely, a preference for watching safer sex is the inverse. We also measured this in different ways, and you see a dosage effect, which also is intriguing to speculate about causality. Viewing bareback was also associated with increased serodiscordant UAI. So on all the measures that we basically care about, it shows up. While we were conducting this study, there were four other studies conducted, including one by our team in Norway and three by our delicious colleagues. And they all find the same thing. All of us are reporting high rates of MSM viewing bareback, or report watching bareback is associated with increased risk behavior. And our studies show that the watching safer sex decreases risk. So the findings are robust and reliable. The target population, when we looked at needs assessment, they find porn-based HIV prevention to be acceptable. So about 86% of our participants state that using SEM for HIV prevention is highly acceptable across age, race, ethnicity, and other variables. About two-thirds would participate in future SEM-based studies. However, HIV prevention in SEM is not a priority for MSM, so we gave them 11 choices, and seeing a condom came in at number 11. So what they care about in choosing SEM is whether it's free, whether it's available, whether you have to access it and give them any personal data, etc. MSM want the focus to be on anal sex and condoms only. They like pre-roll ads. For those of you who like your porn in the old-fashioned way, the pre-roll ads are the things that come up before you start looking at the porn tape. And actors modelling use of condoms, lubricants for anal sex, presumably also potentially discussing PrEP. Not acceptable oral sex with condoms or anal lingus with dental dams. That's just not going to go down with the troops. When we did a latent profile analysis, we find that the guys, the needs assessment divides into three groups. The majority say, please focus on all anal sex with condoms and lube shots. 17% say, no way, we don't want any of this, get your HIV prevention away from my porn. And about 29% say, use SEM to promote all risk reduction, including PrEP and home testing and other things. So, I've only highlighted some selected findings due to time. We've got over 28 peer-reviewed publications on a bunch of things. I think there's four key questions. First, is there a disconnect between a clinical industry which tends to emphasize the danger of internet porn and MSM's actual experience, which concludes that it's healthy and helpful? And so hopefully our results can be used to balance what's called third-person effects. That's where I know that my porn is good for me, but I'm very worried about your porn and what it's going to do to you. That's the third-person effect. Is there a way to harness SEM consumption for HIV prevention? I think we've got to go in this area and think, how do we do this creatively? What would SEM-based prevention look like? We've got good acceptability data on what is acceptable, but we need to study what is effective. Is watching bareback causing risk behavior? This is the $99 million question, given we have only two studies of gay SEM and HIV risk. Four, and they all show impressive associations. The limitation is they're all being cross-sectional, and so we need causality studies. I just want to point out this is obviously an early stage of research. We're more at the beginning asking questions rather than at the end, and that context shapes what you do. The data are all self-report, convenient samples were used, and the data are cross-sectional. So causality cannot be inferred. So where does this field need to go? I think we need to study causality. I think we need to study gay SEM consumption structurally. And what I mean by that is that the gay porn industry voluntarily restricted itself to all anal sex with condom. It was a standard for about 8 years. We've gone away from that now. It's useful to ask, well, What is the function of standards there, whether they're self-imposed? Some of you may be from states where the industry is having standards imposed on that. And there's a whole bunch of practical and ethical challenges. It's delicious when you've got five studies showing the same findings to want to run out and say that A causes B. You can't do that scientifically. I think we can use porn to build young men's sexual health, and I want to just honour the British for taking the lead in some of their work with young MSM. And I want to thank an absolutely incredible team who did everything right, and I'm the person in charge of all the mistakes. And I wish you a good sexual health. And if anyone wants to know any further questions about ballet dancing, I'll be available afterwards.
I was wondering, you may be aware of the ADHA policy on
porn. No, enlighten us.
It became then a recommendation for OSHA, an occupational safety and health, that if you're in the porn industry, you should be mandated, and you get the OSHA seal of approval on every porn film.
Yep.
The workers have been protected in this porn film. I was wondering if you're actually seeing any of those, because that was enacted about 2 years ago.
Yep. I think it's important for us as public health workers to tease out the difference between the people who star in the film and the effects on consumers. And I think there are very deep debates about the effects of such legislation. I was talking to one porn producer the other day, and he was saying, you know, the only effect it's had on his production is that they just move it out of states with such regulation. Whether that's ultimately a bad thing.
Because previously they've been doing monthly HIV tests.
Yep.
And
there are differences in standards too between gay SEM and heterosexual SEM.